This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Luke Johnson covers the Saints for NewOrleans.com. He's on the bench tonight to talk about the Saints' big game in Atlanta on Sunday at Mercedes-Benz. Hey, Luke, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, man?
I'm chilling. Thanks for coming on. So where are they in terms of, who they are, in your opinion, coming off of that shocker against the Buccaneers when that game at 88 points and Fitzmagic lit them up in week one. And then they come back, and frankly, they got lucky to win that game against Cleveland. I mean, the kid, Gonzalez, choked. You go down and your guy doesn't choke is bottom line. You finish the game. You got the W, which is all that matters. Who are they? Where are they right now, do you think?
Yeah, they're still figuring it out, man. It's been these past 2 weeks have been like performance art and contrasting styles. They were great offensively in week one and pretty bad offensively last week, and they were terrible defensively in week one and pretty decent last week. I mean, they just don't really know who they are yet. And I think they would like to think they're a Super Bowl contender, but they have not played like it so far. So I think this week is really important for them to just get a footing and start making some strides toward being the team that everybody kind of thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season.
Luke Johnson, Enola.com. So, to me, when I was watching them, it's a lot of it seems like it's Kamara or bust. I mean, if you ask me, are they just doing that too much and not spreading it around enough to other guys that can get it done for them? I mean, I think Thomas is, but I mean, honestly, it seems like it's everything. Every play, every other play is designed for Kamara. It's getting, I think, a little stale.
Yeah, I think that's been something that we've been paying attention to down here. Is their offense has really been entirely Kamara and Mike Thomas. I think the two of them between them have something like 60 or 70% of their touches so far. It's been all those guys. They need to get other guys worked in there. Yeah, they haven't even had one of their big offseason acquisitions, Cameron Meredith. He hasn't even been activated yet. Ben Watson is like 7 catches. Their third round rookie, Traquan Smith, who is awesome in the preseason, has only been targeted twice. Ted Ginn Jr. has really been the only guy who's been even halfway of a consistent complement to those their two studs. So, while Mark Ingram's out, they need to find somebody besides Thomas and Kamara to get the job done, and they're really going to have to do it this week because it's not enough. Even though those two guys are two of the best young players at their position in the NFL, it's just not enough.
So, Luke, I think that, Ginn, he played pretty well in that Tampa game. I know he scored, and then I didn't think he was that bad even in the Cleveland game. Why don't they throw more to that guy? Is it me, or are they not interested in that type of thinking? What are they saying to you and the media when you're trying to get anything more than rhetoric out of them when it comes to their simple? I mean, it's just obvious that they got two guys making the plays and nobody else. Like, what are they doing? What are they saying to you?
Well, with Ginn, they've tried going to him a couple times, just haven't connected. He was wide open behind the Cleveland secondary. I think it was in the first quarter last week. It would have been like a 60-yard touchdown pass, but Breeze underthrew him by a good bit, and the pass got broken up. Some of it is just the types of route combinations they're running. Thomas is pretty frequently the first read, and he's pretty frequently open. So they've been going that way, and when they've taken their shots with Ginn and others, they haven't connected on them. I think they're gonna consistently tell us that if if their playmakers are open, they're gonna find a way to give them the ball. I don't think they're gonna say anything about forcing them the ball, just like they wouldn't force Ted Ginn or Tre'Quan Smith or Ben Watson or whoever else the ball. I think that maybe they try to find better ways to get more people open, so it's not just relying on the two guys who are so good that they're getting open more regularly than the other guys.
So is his knee banged up? And then because I heard that his knee's an issue in terms of Ginn. And then Manti Te'o, he also has a knee and was missing some practices. And what is his role on this team? Like, do you think they like what he's doing for them in the middle?
To answer your question about Ginn first, he was limited all week, but I think he'll be fine. He might even be back there returning punts this week, so I wouldn't worry too much about him. Te'o is going to miss Sunday's game. He's officially ruled out today. He's part of their four-man rotation. They've been working in their linebacker. It's kind of down between him and AJ Klein for who's in there in the middle wearing the communication microphoned up helmet to make the calls to the defense. So yeah, it's a big loss for them. Even if he's only been playing about 50% of the defensive snaps so far, but he's a smart player and I think a big part of what they do defensively, even if he doesn't have a lot of huge stats to show for it.
Do they like Luke Johnson with us, NOLA.com, covers the Saints. Do you think they like Marshawn Lattimore and what he brings to the table, the second-year guy out of Ohio State?
Yeah, I think they love him. He had a really poor game in week one. Mike Evans burned him for several big games, including a couple touchdowns. But he had a bounce-back effort in week two, and I don't think they're concerned about him at all. He's a big, strong, fast, physical guy who makes plays in the ball. And you need players like him in this league. I think this week in particular, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him and whether they kind of let him shadow Julio Jones across the field because he's got the size and the speed to match up with Julio. You just got to have a better game than he did in week one against Mike Evans. I think he will.
Do you like Sheldon Rankins, what kind of player he's turning into? A young guy, big, 300-pounder on the left side there. He had a sack in the Cleveland game. Getting involved in a lot of, wherever the ball is, he seems like he's involved and getting up from the pile. Do they like what he's bringing?
Yeah, he's a guy who... he kind of disappointed a little bit last year, disappointed himself and probably the team a little bit. Former first-round pick out of Louisville, but we've heard nothing but rave reviews about the guy throughout training camp and preseason. And, even from the stuff we can see with our own eyes, he just kind of looks like a different cat out there. And, I think it's tough to project stuff like sacks and stuff for interior defensive linemen, but I think he's going to be one of those guys you can see kind of jump out a little bit with some of his plays he's making behind the line of scrimmage, and the Saints are going to give him a lot of opportunities to do that. They're kind of working him in like a three-man rotation there, but he's the main guy, and he's the guy they count on to be kind of their disruptor in the middle. He's a big guy in terms of being 300 pounds, but he's not like your kind of prototypical monster in the middle type. He's only about 6 feet tall, but he gets the job done. He plays with some ferocity in there. So I think he's in for a good year.
So Drew Brees, sixth in the NFL in TDs, first in completion percentage, fourth in yards, third in his rating, quarterback rating. Can you believe it? At 18 years, this guy, like, is it actually Drew Brees that's, standing the test of time? And everybody's always talking about Tom Brady and how he's going to play till he's 45. This guy's 39 years old, and he's still absolutely lethal And when I watch him play, he doesn't look at all to me like a guy that's anywhere close to being even remotely near the end.
No, I think he's done such a good job of marrying up his experience to his game, where the guys, if there's any sort of depletion in his physical abilities, he's able to make up for it right now with you know, just how much knowledge he has and how much, repetition he's done. It's like he's not even thinking out there. He's just kind of slinging it exactly to the right spot at exactly the right time. It's really remarkable. I did a story today. He could misfire on his next 137 straight passes, and he'd still be the most accurate quarterback in league history. There's just nobody like him.
It's crazy.
And you know, the fact that he's more upset with missing that deep throat again, and he missed another touchdown pass to Ben Watson, then he is happy that he's completing 80% of his passes through two games. Says something about the guy, I think.
So they want to attack Ryan in that pocket all day on Sunday. I know they hate each other, these teams. This is a great divisional game. And, you know, even though you won last week, in my opinion, you can't really afford to lose this game, or you're going to be looking at, two-win teams in the Bucs and Falcons. And if the Bucs win Monday night against Tampa, they go to 3. You can't afford to be 1-2 even at this point, if you ask me. I know that sounds crazy, but they have to be, like, thinking that way, don't they?
Yeah, especially considering the Saints' recent history, where they've gotten off to really slow starts in the last like 5 years, and this is the best. They're 1-1, and it's their best start in 5 years, because they've either been 0-2, 0-3, or 0-4. It's been bad. So they don't want to be 1-2. You know, they don't want to be digging themselves out of a hole early in the season, especially if two of those losses would be against division opponents. You don't want to make up ground that way. It's putting yourself behind the eight ball before the season's even a quarter old. I think there's going to be a sense of urgency with the Saints out there on Sunday, and they've got kind of a ripe opportunity right here, because the Falcons are missing a lot of key players to injury. We found out today that they're going to be without guys like Devontae Freeman and Takaris McKinley. And the Saints have to kind of strike while the iron's hot there, because getting up to 2-1 and evening that division record out at 1-1, getting a win on the road against a tough opponent, all that stuff, like, can give you some positive momentum going forward. But if you're 1-2 again, and you're back in that familiar position of having to dig yourself out of a hole, that's when, like, all the frustration starts setting in, and you have to kind of watch out for that sort of stuff. So I think this is a crucial game.
I got 20 seconds, respectfully. I originally got him at 3.5 in Atlanta. I like the Saints in this game. Do you like them to win this game? And now it's 2.5, so some people have jumped on the Saints. Do you like them to get it done?
Yeah, I like them straight up. I think the Falcons have too many injuries, and the Saints kind of put it all together finally.
Awesome. You're the man. Hey, Luke, great stuff tonight on the Saints. I dug it. Thanks for coming on from NOLA.com. We'll catch up with you throughout the season, see how the Saints are rolling, and enjoy the game in Atlanta.
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
All right, Luke Johnson of NOLA.com with us tonight on the bench.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.